Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, a new week begins on Sports Grid Radio. He is Joe Lisi, the mastermind of the pigskin, and I am Ben Stevens. So the NFL calendar now quiets down just a little bit as we get ready for summer and off-season workouts following the release and the full unveiling of the 2024 NFL schedule last week. We'll still give you some thoughts around that on this Monday and also do the same in college football. We've known the schedule for a long time. We know when the games are going to be played and where, but getting some more TV network designations, and we're starting to get the full picture of what the first few weekends of a 2024 college football season are going to look like. Lisi guy, it should be a good week here on FFC.
Oh, I can't wait, Ben. And, you know, we got the release coming up in a couple of weeks, months of EA Sports 2024 and 2025. That's what it's all about. And, you know, the first couple of weeks of the regular season, I mean, are as stellar as I've ever seen over the past 10 to 15 seasons. I mean, we talked about LSU taking on both USC and UCLA respectively. You have Michigan and Texas in week number two. I mean, Georgia and Clemson. So there is the opportunity for potentially maybe a team that we're not high on to really catapult themselves. I mean, and I've talked about time and time again, we know about Florida State and Clemson. They have two marquee games to start their season. We'll see how it plays out, because if Florida State and Clemson could get a kickstart in regards to marquee wins through the first couple weeks of the regular season, the ACC potentially can make some noise and crack the party.
It sounds to me like Joe Lisi has started to tune in a little bit to the ACC as that league has a couple of programs to keep an eye on for a college football season. If you work with Lisi guy enough, you start to get a feel of how his brain is operating and how he's looking at things for a new college football season. What will draw his main attention? And it seems like the ACC, Joe, is a storyline that you want to follow, and it does really make sense, because when you think of the ACC, led by Clemson, they have had success on a national stage when it comes to winning and contending for college football playoff and national championships. Of course, Florida State last year was the team left out despite being unbeaten. But it would seem, Joe, in this new Power 2 era, really within the Power 4, the ACC is a peg behind both the Big Ten and the SEC, and albeit in a 12-team college football playoff format where there should be some more variance in terms of those at-large berths, there is a thought, at least based on the odds, that the ACC is only going to get one program into the 12-team college football playoff field, and that is going to be the champion of the conference that earns that automatic qualifying berth. That's how the odds are stacking up, but it almost seems as though Lisi might contradict.
Yeah, and we always look for value in the offseason, right? We know about the usual suspects, but what teams could potentially surprise? And you and I have done a fantastic job on this show over the past couple of seasons in terms of, we were on Vanderbilt a couple of years ago in terms of their win total. Last year it was Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma State almost knocked down that door, right? They had a win total of 6.5 wins. They were 60-1 to potentially win the Big 12 championship. Now they got blown out by Texas. Texas, but at least they made it there to potentially catch value. And everybody loves that big word, CLV, at the start of the year. This is when you do it. So, you know, we know about the Big Ten. We know about the SEC, and rightfully so, right? They should have anywhere from maybe, let's say, 6 to 8 teams potentially in the mix. But then those other 4 teams, you know, what does it look like? And that's where I do see value, at least from the schedule perspective as it relates to the Big Four. Louisville, Clemson, Florida State, and Miami, respectively. If the conference from top to bottom, let's say, surprises this year, and they do have a better one-loss record than, let's say, the Big 12, now we're not talking about one team. We're potentially maybe talking about 2 or 3, and that's where you have plus money on a multitude of teams just to make the college football playoff.
For sure. It's going to be a fascinating case study, Joe, to understand and follow the new thought from the College Football Playoff Selection Committee with 12 teams. Is a 2-loss ACC team more highly regarded than that of a 3-loss Big Ten or SEC team? How will we weigh what actually is at stake? Let's say there was an Ole Miss that loses 2 games this upcoming season. I don't know the Ole Miss schedule off the top of my head, but I do believe they play Georgia. Let's say Ole Miss loses to Georgia and insert LSU. Will those 2 losses hamper the running Rebs if there is a 1-loss non-ACC champ also vying for one of those spots, if there's the direct comparison? Normally, you would probably give the edge to that ACC team in this new landscape of college football with realignment starting this year in full, adding Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC, adding the 4 West Coast schools to the Big Ten, the reshuffling of the Big 12, where the ACC adds teams like Cal, Stanford, and SMU, but will that really shake up the conference in the same way? We shall see. But the idea, Joe, being in the Big Ten and the SEC, because of the gauntlet that your conference slate is going to be, you might get more benefit of the doubt, and where in years past 2 losses eliminated you virtually from the college football playoff, this year it might not be that much of a hampering idea. Would a 1-loss ACC team that is looking for an at-large bid be viewed in the same way a 2-loss SEC team would be for that at-large bid? How exactly are we going to correlate and compare those 2 teams? That's going to be something to follow throughout this college football season.
It really is, and that's why I think you look at the early season slate, right, to really potentially get that gauge. And we talk about, you know, certain teams. Miami opens up against Florida. All right, Florida's an SEC opponent. And Clemson opens up against Georgia, potentially the top team, right, from the odds perspective, at 3-1 to win the Natty this year. So let's just say Miami blows out Florida, and somehow, some way, Clemson and Cade Klubnik all of a sudden surprise and upset Georgia, right? Now all of a sudden the tables are turned. Now you know how these computers think. It's like, oh, now the ACC carries weight, and that'll carry weight throughout the regular season. That'll benefit a team like Florida State. That'll benefit a team like Louisville, or maybe let's just throw in North Carolina because they're in the conference, depending upon the schedule, right? So so that's why it is important, right? We know where the Big Ten and SEC are, but if the ACC gets those early season wins over SEC opponents, now all of a sudden that strength of schedule becomes a lot more harder, and really benefits them should it come down to a 1 or a 2 loss team fighting for that 12th seed or 11th seed overall to knock down the playoff.
Yeah, absolutely so. And Joe, I think when you look at the ACC, maybe not as top heavy as the likes of the Big Ten or the SEC, but I think when you look at the depth of this conference, it's going to look pretty different, and it's going to look rather solid where things stand right now. You look at the names behind the likes of Clemson, Florida State, and Miami, each of those teams with a win total of 9.5 with juice relatively so pretty similar, but on the over. I look at some teams behind, like Louisville. What does Louisville start to do here with a new quarterback in Tyler Shuck and some big additions on the defensive side of the football? NC State under Dave Doran has been as consistent of a winning football program, flirting with 8 wins 4 of the past 5 years, as you will find in college football. Beyond that, I think Virginia Tech might be one of those teams, Joe, that has a win total maybe we're not focusing on that I would slot in for 8 wins, 7.5 the win total for the Hokies entering 2024, and the over has the hefty juice at minus 170. One of the reasons I highlight Va Tech is because Brent Pry and the Hokies had great success last year, and they returned the most starters in all of college football. 22 starters. That includes offense, defense, and special teams, with those players registering at least 6 starts at minimum this past season in 2023. 22 of those starters return, led by Kyron Drones, the quarterback in Blacksburg. I think this Virginia Tech team is destined for 8 to 9 wins in 2024. We'll continue the conversation as we form things around college football on this Monday, live right here on Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio. Listen, when you can talk a little college football entering Memorial Day week and weekend, you have to do so. That is our charge here on FFC. Come back and join myself, Ben Stevens, and Joe Lisi on the other side of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, having a great conversation around college football, eagerly optimistic and looking forward to the 2024 college football campaign. We're looking at a couple of teams this upcoming season, Joe, that might be in the middle ground of win totals. And if we can, for a third consecutive year, pick a team for you that maybe is not that highly rated from the win total perspective and get you some cash. Last year, it was Lisi and I teaming up for Vandy. Then Lisi said Oklahoma State entering 2023. I said I'm on board with the Pokes. Vandy for 2022, by the way, with a win total of 3.5 that they easily cleared. Maybe even 2.5 with plus money to the over for Vanderbilt. Either way, we're 2 for 2 the last two off seasons. We're trying to make it 3 for 3. I mentioned Virginia Tech, Joe, right before the break, and you're going to have to pay some juice if you want the over of 7.5 wins for Brent Pry and the Hokies in his third season for Brent Pry now in Blacksburg. Yeah, third season for Brent Pry in Blacksburg. Manny Diaz, the former defensive coordinator now at Penn State, at Duke. I couldn't remember how long Manny Diaz had been in State College. Regardless, Joe, third season for Brent Pry, and they bring back so much talent and production from a season ago, led by their quarterback, Kyron Drones. I said it before the break, 22 starters for Virginia Tech. 22 starters return for the Hokies. They are going to have a lot of experience on that roster, and they're a team in the ACC that I think could get to 8-9 wins.
Yeah, no, great job in regards to Kyron Drones and Va Tech. And, you know, Brent Pry potentially was on the hot seat, right? He gets Grant Wells a couple of seasons ago from Marshall, never really lived up to expectations, was a deer in the headlights for much of his tenure in Blacksburg, gave way to Kyron Drones, and that offense all of a sudden kickstarted. They began to run the football more consistently. Offense and defensive lines played much better. We know how good of a defense coordinator he is, and now he's built a foundation there, and he's done it under the radar, right? The expectation in the bar wasn't that high after Justin Fuentes left. He regressed from taking over from Frank Beamer, but this is an opportunity now to step up and maybe get back to 9 wins, and they could do it. It all comes down to schedule, right, Ben? We know that in terms of, you know, home games, road games, any difficult back-to-back, but I mean, when it's heavily juiced at -170, you got to like those odds to potentially crack down 8 or 9 wins. So I like the look. I actually think I'm going to be able to get you on board for the third year in a row. Okay, I'm going to tickle you a little bit. I have a couple of teams, but I know you love plus money to the over. Not going to be easy. Okay, but there's renewed optimism in Lincoln. You want to talk about the 7.5 win total and +120 to the over. Benjamin, I think that's the one we're both going to be on for 2024.
You don't need to convince me to have some optimism for Matt Rhule and the Cornhuskers in Lincoln, Nebraska. Of course, it all, and I mean it all, really kind of hinges on the success that I believe Dylan Raiola is going to have as a true freshman starting right away at the quarterback position. But he is the prince that was promised for the Huskers. And if he is even half as good as people expect him to be in year number one, this is a team, Joe, with so much returning talent on the defensive side of the football, led by those big hog mollies up front, that I do believe that in year number two under Matt Rhule, Nebraska can have some great success. I really do. I really do. And I think eight wins. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, I 8-9 wins, not out of the realm of possibility. They were close in year number one. Now with the Dylan Raiola and his ability to stretch defenses over the top, his second year in the defensive scheme, I'm with you. I mean, there's two teams I'm willing to go to. One is Nebraska for plus money, and I'll wait to see what you say in regards to the other one. The other one does come out of my baby, the Big 12, so we'll see what you say.
Okay, well, I also have one out of the Big 12 that I would love your thoughts on here in just a moment. But again, when you look at Nebraska, again, so much talent returns defensively. Nebraska has 19 returning starters from last year's team that went into their final four games needing just one win to get back to a bowl game for the first time since 2016. And for whatever curse that lives in Lincoln, unable to get over the hump. Three of the four games decided by just 3 points. The other one, a touchdown in overtime. I mean, as cruel as it can be for Nebraska, but I do believe they change that. And a lot of my confidence, Joe, in this Nebraska team stems from the defensive side of the football that was one of the best defenses in the country last year, scoring in total, one of the best defenses defending the run as well. When you bring back guys like Nash Hutmaker and Ty Robinson up front, you're going to have some success. Key and integral pieces to that Nebraska defense a year ago, and I think that shows off once again. You're not going to have a very difficult time, Lisey guy, convincing me to sprinkle a little plus money on the over of 7.5 wins, even though if you have bet the over for Nebraska's win total the last few seasons, you have probably been snake bitten despite getting oh so close.
Oh, absolutely, and I'll go.
Come
on. You know I love to push the pendulum.
You
they
keep
have
them
the
coming,
potential,
kid.
Ben.
You keep them
to
coming.
Start. Wait, they could start 7-0. Look at this.
Yeah.
UTEP, Colorado, Northern Iowa, Illinois at home, Purdue, and Rutgers, and Indiana before they go to Columbus. There is the potential. All right, it's not going to be easy. We know Rutgers and Colorado are on the upswing, but you can never say never with the right bounce. Maybe the shoe bounces in their favor this time. 7-0 is not out of the realm of possibility.
Illinois expected to take a step back slightly. Purdue expected to struggle in year number two under Ryan Walters. There are some very winnable games for the Nebraska Cornhuskers before they get to that final Saturday in October and a trip to the Shoe in Columbus. Then they'll have the LA teams back-to-back with a bye week sandwiched in between and a mid-November trip out to USC before they finish against Wisconsin and at Iowa on Black Friday. Again, a lot can be decided for this Nebraska football team. And Joe, here's part of the beauty, I think, of the 12-team college football playoff era. Let's assume Nebraska starts 6-1, 7-0. By the time we get closer to those college football playoff rankings in November, because of the 12-team format, you could paint a path for a 8-9, 10-win Big Ten team like a Nebraska Cornhuskers that if they're going over 7.5 wins, cashing in that plus money, that means they're at 8. Maybe 9, you can start to play it forward for a CFP projection. Not saying Nebraska gets there, just a thought. Here's more coming your way on Football Full Circle next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. All right, so Joe Lisi and I are going through some win totals that might be slightly below the radar for this upcoming 2024 college football season. We're not talking the top end on either way, the best of the best, or maybe the worst of the worst. We're trying to find some value with a team that might be slightly slept on. We both have one in the Big 12. Joe, do you want to go on three? Give our team that we like in their win total in the Big 12?
Sure.
All right, I'm going to count 3, 2, 1, and after one, we say it, all right?
Good.
We're doing this through radio airwaves. There might be a slight delay, but here we go. 3, 2, 1, UCF.
UCF.
Oh, we did it. Come on. That's what we love. All right, you give your reason why for Central Florida, and I'll give mine.
All right, so mine is year one for Gus Malzahn was a feeling out process. We talked about the transition from the four teams moving over. One of those teams was UCF. They did have John Rhys Plumlee started. He was injured for much of the regular season, never 100%. And now year two, they're acclimated, right? They understand the schedule. That's the first aspect. I still believe in Gus Malzahn. They love to run the football. Their offensive line is still proved well. And now you get the benefit of potentially a 6'4", 240-pound quarterback, KJ Jefferson, that I've been as high on as anybody in the SEC, now transfers in. He's unbelievable, an unbelievable phenomenon. He's an experienced guy, single-handedly almost beat Alabama when they were 20.5-point underdogs last season against Arkansas and Bama. So I think he's going to be a huge boost to this offense. And now in year number two, I really think they could set sail, and the schedule, Ben, is unbelievable. I just looked at it. I mean, they don't play any of the real heavyweights in the Big 12. They potentially, I don't want to get ahead of myself, could be an 11-win football team and knock down the college football playoff door. They're 12-1 to win the Big 12.
Yeah. Listen, I think there's a lot of sense in if they go over 7.5 wins, which means 8, right? For them to be in the running for the Big 12 title in this inaugural year of 16 teams with the additions of the four corner schools, Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and of course, Colorado. When you look at this UCF team, there is so much to love. Joe, you mentioned KJ Jefferson. Of course, anytime you provide me a veteran quarterback in Gus Malzahn's system that you think can highlight the best of that athletic prospect, I'm all for it. I am all for KJ Jefferson, now a member of the Knights. On top of that, Lisi guy, late in this spring transfer portal window, when we thought Penny Boone, of course, who was the leader, one of the leading running backs in the country, the MAC Offensive Player of the Year from Toledo, was going to Louisville, he changes destinations and ends up at UCF. So you have a backfield right now of KJ Jefferson and Penny Boone, and I don't even know if RJ Harvey is coming back, but Joe, I look at this Central Florida team, and I think there is so much to like. Now, what needs to change for UCF to get over 7.5 wins is going to be on the defensive side of the football. One of the worst teams defending run a season ago. That must improve, Joe. That must improve for the Knights in 2024 if they are even going to sniff 8 wins and go over 7.5. But it's a team that when you have so much success, as UCF did in this transfer portal window in the 2024 offseason. Love what I am seeing out of Gus Malzahn and Central Florida this year in Orlando.
Yeah, absolutely. And I talked about the schedule. The schedule makes or breaks everything, right? It's like you look at it and you say, okay, can we project out wins and losses? They open up with New Hampshire, Sam Houston, TCU, that's now slightly regressing. Colorado, not going to be easy, but, you know, Colorado started fast last year and fell off a cliff, right? Florida, again, haven't lived up to expectations with Billy Napier. Cincinnati on the downswing, now moving to the Big 12. Rocco Beck and Iowa State are the hard one. That's in Ames. Yeah. That's not going to be easy. You got BYU in your place. Noah Fifita. That could be a shootout in Orlando in the bounce house. Sure. Arizona State, West Virginia, and then the hard one, Utah. But they come to Orlando with the hot heat and humidity. You never know. That's always a factor. I mean, they could potentially be, like I said, 10-2, 11-1, and 12-0. I mean, if they put odds out for them to be undefeated, I might take a shot.
I think you're going to take a shot. The team you took a shot to be undefeated last year, Air Force, almost got to that stage before a peculiar game against Army, and then everything just went off the tracks for the Falcons. A couple of other Big 12 thoughts, because there's a few teams in this new landscape of the conference, Joe, that I think can challenge for that top spot. We'll discuss next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live on Football Full Circle, it's a college football type of Monday leading up to Memorial Day weekend. Joe Lisi and myself, Ben Stevens, going around the country and giving out some win totals that are available and that catch our eye for a new season. Joe, both you and I on Central Florida. Just bet the over myself over 7.5 for 2024 because of the additions that Gus Malzahn made offensively for this UCF team in 2024. Second year in the Big 12, a reimagined Big 12 just in general. Things have to get better for UCF on the defensive side of the football, but adding KJ Jefferson and Penny Boone, things are looking up for UCF. Now, Lisi guy, there's a couple of other areas in the Big 12. And it's difficult to say at times because we don't know what these current conferences look like against one another. I can't really project how Oregon is going to fare against Penn State because I haven't really seen it in conference play. I can give you the series history of Penn State versus Maryland, Penn State versus Michigan State, whatever that might be, but we have not seen at least that large sample size for these new and reimagined, realigned conferences. That's certainly the case in the Big 12, where the top of the tops in the Big 10 and the SEC are still expected to be those names that you would associate with the top of the top. But in the Big 12, Lisi guy, Utah is the favorite. The Utes have the highest win total at 9.5, and the over has the juice. Utah is plus 350, though, a co-favorite in the conference alongside K-State. Kansas State's win total is 9.5. The under has the juice. Of course, this is all dictated about having the two best winning percentages strictly in conference play and then reaching that conference championship game to cash this ticket. How do you value and judge the Big 12, Joe, if we're looking at teams like UCF to maybe make a run to test this new conference in its first real year as a 16-member league?
Yeah, I mean, I still feel confident in Gus Malzahn, and I feel more confident in KJ Jefferson, right? And that's why I would be making that bet over the 7.5 and at 12-1 to potentially knock down that door. I don't have as much confidence in Utah just yet, and Arizona now with a new head coach, because again, they have to understand the landscape, right? They have to understand what it, you know, the travel, the logistics, the stadium. Now, those are all things that, you know, we take for granted, but, you know, teams that play in specific stadiums and conferences and understand the travel logistics, they're prepared for that. You know, I talk about this when West Virginia originally went to the Big 12 from the Big East. They struggled early on with the back-to-backs, you know, going back from West Virginia to the state of Texas multiple times because they just weren't used to that, right? Same thing with Arizona now. You know, I know the conference did the best in terms of like scheduling both of those teams and all the teams that came over as best they can, but that still puts pressure on not just the head coach but the players as well. You know, student athletes as well as pros are creatures of habit. When you disrupt that routine to any type of degree, it's a feeling out process. You got to get used to it. So again, I'm not apt, and I love Cam Rising. I love with you know, Whittingham has done in Utah, yeah. But I can't back them first year in the conference, think that they're going to hit the ground running and just expect to just bully everybody. I would back other teams like Oak State and teams that have been in the conference, even like Kansas State, that understand what it takes and understand the personnel with coaches that have stepped up before. So that's just my take, Ben, but we'll ultimately see how it plays out in a few months.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it, right? That you're not going to really know how Utah factors in as a Big 12 team. But a Utah team, Joe, that won two straight Pac-12 championships before last year and not having Cam Rising back for any of it, I do believe is going to factor into the Big 12 title race. I think the Utes are going to be one of the two teams playing for a Big 12 championship opening Saturday in December, especially with the return of a fully healthy Cam Rising, albeit missing a full year of college football action. Oklahoma State, Joe, another team that returns so much talent, including, of course, Ollie Gordon II, back for the Pokes. That's huge for Mike Gundy this upcoming season. Now, a couple of the newcomers do catch my eye. We talked about UCF, now second year in the conference. Arizona, a very intriguing team. The Cats have a win total of 7.5. Now, of course, a lot of attrition this year for Arizona in Tucson, namely Jed Fish, taking the job at Washington and bringing a lot of the talent along with him. But there were two key pieces for an Arizona team that won double-digit games a year ago that did not make the trip up to Seattle to follow Jed Fish. Noah Fifita, the quarterback, Tetaroa McMillan, one of the best wide receivers in the country in college football. Both stayed in Tucson and will be coached by new head man Brent Brennan. Arizona is a team, Joe, physical defensively a year ago, bringing back a lot of those pieces and keeping maybe their two most integral offensive pieces in Fifita and McMillan. I still am optimistic that Arizona can be an 8-win football team, maybe making some noise and being in that Big 12 title race the final few weeks of the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. People thought, and, you know, experts thought that Fifita would just jump ship once Jed Fish went to Washington, right? Would he go to Oklahoma? Would he go here? Would he go there? And all of a sudden, he decided to stay in Tucson and really elevate this team for 2024. It's going to be interesting because he took over for Jaden Delora. Jaden Delora's injury opened that door. He was one of the most prolific quarterbacks, not just in the Pac-12, but all of college football, and dominated Oklahoma in the bowl game. So you mentioned McMillan as well. I mean, tore up Pac-12 secondaries, right? Just unbelievable. And not only that, you talk about them against the better teams. They went toe-to-toe with USC. They almost pulled that matchup, right? They lost it in overtime. They went toe-to-toe with Michael Penix and Washington. They were catching like 19.5 and only lost that game last year in Tucson by 7. So they were in each and every game down the stretch and won a handful of games in the Pac-12. So from an experience perspective, you can make the argument Cam Rising and Fifita and Jefferson are the three best quarterbacks in the Big 12, and that's not a knock on Avery Johnson, but I think he's a better runner than he is a passer at this point. But we'll see. It's amazing in terms of the depth of not just Arizona, but all of these teams at the skill player perspective in the Big 12.
Yeah, very much so. It's going to be a really good conference, a very intriguing conference with a lot of teams that you would believe can flirt with anywhere from 7 to 10 wins, how that factors into the race for a Big 12 championship, how it factors into the race, of course, for a college football playoff spot. Another team, Joe, that I believe in betting the win total to the over of 7.5, that's Iowa State. One, just because of what Matt Campbell does each and every year, but two, so much returning talent and production for this Cyclones team, led by their quarterback, Rocco Brecht, that you talked about. You know they're going to be great in the interior line of scrimmage. And last year, a 7-6 football team where 5 of the 6 losses came by 10 points or less. For Iowa State, Joe, to bring back all that they have in a rather favorable schedule this upcoming season in 2024, I'm not saying they could win the conference. I'm not saying they're a college football playoff team, but do I feel enough confidence in the Cyclones to get to 7.5? I think I do. And it's even money on, or even juice, I should say, on both sides, over 7.5, under 7.5, both -110.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. They got back to running the football more consistently, and Matt Campbell's a fantastic coach, and the best thing that could have happened to that team was Hunter Decker's, you know, in terms of the off-the-field situation that gave way to Rocco Beck, getting him that game experience for throughout the regular season. They lost in the Liberty Bowl, but it doesn't matter. They're poised for a breakout season. They got better in terms of the interior. They were one of the teams that couldn't run the football consistently, were put into long third down situations were less than 30% a couple of years ago. They elevated that, and that was because of Rocco Becht. I love their over 7.5 as well, Ben.
23 TDs, only 8 INTs for Becht in his redshirt freshman year. His two top targets, Jaden Higgins, Jalen Noel, they're back. All 5 of his starting offensive linemen return to Ames as well. A lot to like this year for Iowa State. More on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're back live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. Joe, we're also starting to get some of the Group of Five conference win totals out for 2024. That will be a lot of fun to dive through as well. Do not see Oregon State or Washington State listed with the Mountain West. Technically not Mountain West members, so I guess that does make sense. But, of course, there is no Pac-2 listed on the FanDuel Sportsbook at this moment either. Anyway, Lisa guy, a team that is not in a conference, and we were discussing the Big 12, the ACC earlier on, that's Notre Dame. But the Irish have a very large win total for this upcoming season, 10.5. There are not many 10.5s out there across the entirety of the marketplace. Notre Dame does have one. Now, with that being said, the 10.5 win total for the Irish, the under has the heavy juice at minus 170. So not expected to be an 11-win football team from the odds, but certainly flirting with double digits. And I'll just say this right now. If Notre Dame is a 10-2 football team at the end of 2024's regular season, Notre Dame will be playing in the 12-team college football playoff.
Yeah, they will. Again, and I agree with that. You know, again, is this schedule, though, for Notre Dame as hard as it was that we've seen over the past few seasons? I don't believe so. Now, I understand that they have Texas A&M to open the season, and they still have to play Florida State and USC. But outside of that, I mean, I don't see a heavy, any team that could potentially challenge them. Louisville could be interesting because Louisville knocked them around in their place last year. We know that Jeff Brohm outcoached Marcus Freeman in terms of that matchup. You know, they ran it all over the front seven, which was probably the most intriguing in terms of how they won. They did it with defense, and they did it with running the football with Juwan Jordan. So, you know, it is intriguing, but they do get them in their house. So it starts week one. Riley Leonard's an upgrade, I believe, from Sam Hartman. Why? Because he's more mobile. You can incorporate the RPO game with Riley Leonard, where Sam Hartman was just a prototypical drop-back passer. And you're right, if they're 10-2, 11-1, they're going to be there. And, you know, that's why the 10.5. But schedule doesn't wow me. You know what I mean? I mean, if they lose to Texas A&M, Marcus Freeman is up against it week number one, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely so. And you would expect, and let's see if the actual odds are out for that game. I believe they are. Yes, Notre Dame is actually a slight underdog, though, as they have to make the trip to College Station to take on the Aggies. That's just where it's going to be, you would think, Joe, but that's a moment for Notre Dame to flash right away because the Irish have a lot of talent returning as well. And the upgrade at the quarterback position, and I agree, Joe, let's call it a spade a spade. Sam Hartman, one of the more prolific college quarterbacks we had seen during his time at Wake Forest, did not live up to anywhere near the level of expectation during his 1 year in South Bend. I think Riley Leonard is that fully healthy and returning from the ankle injury that cut his 2023 season short at Duke. It's the funny storyline, of course, of that game. Riley Leonard now at Notre Dame going up against his former head coach, Mike Elko, who's now the head man for A&M. Weird how that all plays out. But one of the best games to start off a season. You return Xavier Watts, who led all of the country in interceptions a year ago. A lot of talent on the defensive side of the football under Marcus Freeman. The expectation is that, Joe, 10 wins, bare minimum, college football playoff spot. There might be some people that don't think Notre Dame is the beneficiary of this expanded and realigned college football landscape. I would disagree. I think Notre Dame sits in a pole position to be in the 12-team college football playoff each and every year of this era. Yes, the schedule is hard. Yes, they do not earn the automatic berth of winning a conference championship game at any level of those leagues, which is a detriment. But they have a path to the CFP each and every year. And again, you look at that schedule. Their toughest games, it's week one on the road against A&M, and at home to start off November for them against Florida State. Yes, the trip to USC could be difficult, but not nearly as difficult as in years past. This Notre Dame team, Joe, if they don't walk into 10 wins, it's a disappointing season in South Bend in a large, large way.
It really is, and, you know, it's unfortunate that Marcus Freeman took over for Brian Kelly because the pressure's on Marcus Freeman. I'm not suggesting he's on the hot seat this year, but, again, you don't want to regress, right? There was optimism with Sam Hartman. Brian Kelly can never get that marquee quarterback in South Bend, and now in back-to-back years you have above-average, if not almost elite, just from the numbers perspective, type of quarterbacks that have transferred in. Now you have to live up to expectations, and to your point, there is no conference championship, so there is no real reason why Notre Dame shouldn't make the college football playoff each and every year now that we're expanded to 12, right? I mean, Brian Kelly knocked down the door twice in over the past six seasons with a four-teamer. Now with 12, it's like that the fan base expects it, so you can't regress, you know, 8-4 every year when you're getting the top quarterback transfers in and you're not living up to expectations. Something has to give. He's a fantastic recruiter, but now this offense and this team really need to take the next step and get over the hump. We'll see if they can do it. That's why the 10.5 win total this season, Ben.
Yeah, and Joe, look at, again, we're trying to describe what is a new landscape in college football. There might have been a thought that if Notre Dame stays under 10.5 wins, and that's where the juice is right now at minus 170, in years past, if they were 10-2 in the regular season, they're not getting to the college football playoff because we had never seen a multiple loss team reach the CFP. Very different this year. Where is the minus money as it pertains to the Fighting Irish on the under of their win total of 10.5, but also to make the CFP at minus 172? So again, that allows a little bit of wiggle room. If Notre Dame does have multiple losses, it is not the death sentence of a college football playoff bid. It is, in fact, still a very likely chance that the Notre Dame Fighting Irish are making their way into the CFP, relieving some of that pressure. Yes, they do not have the opportunity for the automatic berth of winning a conference championship, and we will see five of those teams into the college football playoff starting this season. But even though they don't have the opportunity to win a conference title and get that automatic bid, I think the new 12-team era and the 12-team format of the college football playoff works out very, very well for Notre Dame. A few more minutes on the other side of the break, live right here on FFC. We'll continue our breakdowns on Football Full Circle coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. So, Lisi, got Notre Dame, I think, is in a great position to make the college football playoff this upcoming season. When you look at some of the odds that are out there right now for teams to reach the CFP, not all that many are in minus money. You'll see a team like Notre Dame at minus 172. But Clemson and some of those teams from the ACC in plus money, because as the odds makers see it, and in the structure of this 12-team format, a lot will be dictated by who ends up winning the ACC. Even last year's national champion, Michigan, minus 110 on both sides. I do not expect the Wolverines to replicate the success of a season ago, even in Sharon Moore's first year. But there are some teams, Joe, that are heavily in minus money to make the college football playoff. Ohio State, minus 650. Oregon, minus 210. Of course, look no further than Georgia as well, around that minus 500 number. We're starting to get that path and what things look like very early on here, even before Memorial Day, for what a college football season might play out as such.
Yeah, and these games matter, right? Ohio State travels to Eugene, right? So one of those teams is going to square off. So, you know, if you like a particular side, it's going to either help or benefit one of those teams in the month of September, right? You know, if Ohio State loses, they're no longer potentially going to be minus 170 to make the playoff. Maybe there might be, you know, even money at that particular point. We don't know how the first couple of weeks of the regular season play out. So, you know, again, you know, I am a little bit higher, I believe, in the ACC because I believe there is value there. Again, the teams that I'm high on in regards to the SEC, team like LSU at plus money, a team like Ole Miss, I know they have the quarterback, potentially the coaches there, and that matters. You know, you talk about it. We talk about these new teams coming in. Coaches matter, especially when we talk about the wear and tear of conference realignment and logistical circumstances. You want an experienced head coach on your side.
Yeah, you certainly do. And it's a new era in college football, one that will come with adjustments, one that will come maybe with some learning experiences and some lumps from others. Joe, eight teams right now, as I count them, favored to reach the college football playoff. One of them is not Alabama, but it starts with Georgia minus 500. And when I say favorite, I mean a minus money price. Technically, Michigan is minus 110 on both sides, like I mentioned, but because they have a minus 110 to make, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Georgia, Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Ole Miss, Oregon, Penn State, Texas. What do those eight schools, Joe, have in common except for one?
All part of the SEC or Big Ten.
And the only one on the outside and the outlier is the independent school that is Notre Dame. So, again, I'm not saying it plays out exactly as the odds makers expect. It never does. Certainly not here at the end of May before we even get into summer workouts prior to fall camp. But that is the thought, at least the prevailing idea, of how this 12-team college football playoff format looks in this new Power Four, but really Big Two era. That a lot of those at-large berths that are up for grabs outside of the automatic qualifiers that are the conference champs are going to go and will be heavily skewed to the Big Ten and the SEC. So a three-loss Big Ten team might be overvalued than a two-loss ACC or Big 12 team. Just things to keep in mind, at least on how the odds makers see this college football season playing out.
Yeah, let's keep an eye out. I'll throw in two other teams in the SEC, NECO and Tennessee with Josh Heupel and Missouri with Brady Cook. Missouri knocked off, you know, Devin Brown out in Ohio State. I understand Devin Brown got hurt and it was a downgrade from where they were at the quarterback position. But Missouri, from a defensive perspective, still took it to the Buckeyes, right? So those are two teams on the cusp. They got great value at 35 and 30 to 1, respectively. If they duplicate the success that they have had, not just last year, but over the past couple of seasons, that might be where the SEC maybe knocks in and knocks some other teams out in their own conference. So that's something to monitor as well as September and October play out.
Yeah, when you look at Missouri's win total, Joe, for 2024, it's 9.5. 9.5 for the Missouri Tigers. The under has the heavy juice at minus 188, but that doesn't mean they would be derailed even with three losses. There is a chance a three-loss Missouri team is in contention for a college football playoff spot. They've got a lot of transfers coming in terms of the backfield. Nate Noel, Marcus Carroll from Georgia State, a top 10 running back last year. Brady Cook returns, as does his top target and one of the best in college football in Luther Burden. Keep an eye on Missouri. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. That does it for this Monday on Football Full Circle. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.
Hey, football fans. Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.